Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out, and don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about Tom Sullivan being here. Thomas Sullivan is the Chief Counsel for Advocacy over at the SBA's Office of Advocacy. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of the folks, you may not realize it, but he's one of the most important people in the life of your small business. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And the reason I called Tom, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most important people, is because of what I said earlier when I was telling you he was going to join us, and that's that Tom jumps in the middle. He has his Superman cape on, and he jumps in the middle between you and me and those mean, nasty regulators out there, and helps keep those guys from doing things that hurt us and cost us money and that put our businesses in some peril. Tom, and for that, on behalf of small business owners, for what you do, we thank you.
Jim, thank you. You know, my superpowers really depend entirely on that army of small employers right behind me. So thanks to all your loyal listeners.
Absolutely. Tom, you want to talk about the overtime issues? You want to talk about that first?
Well, yeah, Jim, my team here has noticed is that there's been a great deal of criticism out all over the country about Department of Labor moving forward on updating the overtime rules. Mm-hmm. And we asked a number of small employers what they felt about this, and they said, well, the rules that exist right now are so confusing that they run at the peril of being fined when they get it wrong, when they figure one person should be paid overtime and one should not. They're so confusing.
They were trying to do was do the right thing, but they didn't know how to do the right thing.
That's right. And they need help from the Department of Labor to figure out how they calculate overtime. And so Secretary Chow, who is the head of Department of Labor, is right now updating those rules. Those rules haven't been updated for more than 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she is right now updating those rules, and so what my office has done is tried to explain why the Department of Labor should update these and actually allow that rule to be finalized. Right now, Department of Labor is surfing through well over 8,000 comments from public all over the country to try to address their concerns in what should be a final rule coming out shortly.
Where's the biggest confusion, Tom?
Well, I think the biggest confusion is trying to designate the difference between managerial personnel and the employees who are entitled to overtime. I mean, way back when, the designation was made between blue-collar and white-collar. And I don't know what you're wearing, Jim, but right now I've got a business suit on, and I'm wearing a shirt that is blue. It has a blue collar, so obviously making those simple types of distinctions.
You ought to be getting overtime. you just got a raise, Tom, just by putting a shirt on, right?
But I mean, you know, we kid about it, but it is really a serious matter when employers want to do the right thing. They want to make sure their managers are salary-based employees, and that their employees under the managers are entitled to overtime. And it is such a crazy, complex set of rules that even when they try to do the right thing, they can be sued and, in fact, subject to 3 years back pay.
Right.
And that type of threat of lawsuits really scares the dickens out of small employers. So it's about time that a little additional clarity be given.
But there's been a little controversy lately about some of the language that's been coming out of the Department of Labor, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has, Jim. And our role is to try to make sure that what we hear from small employers has the same type of attention that some of the critics have given it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, typically the way I define the difference between white collar and blue collar is the only way for a blue-collar person to leverage their income is to work more hours. But the way for most white-collar managers to leverage their income is through their performance. And typically, when someone is a white-collar manager, they typically are in line for some kind of a bonus, some kind of leverage that they can, but it's based typically on the performance of their division or the overall company, whereas a blue-collar worker doesn't have that ability. They can only leverage their income through the hours that they work. And to me, that's how I make the distinction, and that's just a marketplace distinction. It's not a technical one.
Yeah, and Jim, there are so many employers who are just confused with an outdated set of guidelines. I mean, guidelines that refer to different operations within a small business, like using the term key punch operator,
right,
or a straw boss. And those designations for workers and managers have fallen by the wayside over a period of over 50 years.
You know, I've been in the marketplace a long time, Tom, and I've never heard the term. I mean, I've heard the term straw boss, but I've never seen it used in an actual business, though.
No, nor I. And small employers really do need to be given additional clarity so that they don't wake up every morning in a cold sweat thinking that they may be subject to lawsuits just because they're trying to do the right thing.
So basically, the Labor Department is trying to come up with some new language, and you're going to make sure your division, your department, the Office of Advocacy, is going to make sure that it's understandable and equitable and friendly for small business, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true, Jim, and I think you raise a good distinction. I mean, my office is completely separate from the rest of government. I mean, what I am supposed to do is to bring the views of small business into Congress, into White House, and into other government agencies. And Jim, you and I have talked so much before. Usually, I'm very critical of government agencies mm-hmm. that regulate.
Right.
In this particular instance, we want Department of Labor to issue rules that will give greater clarity for small business owners.
Well, the rules are already there. We just don't understand them, and you're just encouraging them to make sure that they write them in plain English and without a lot of extra language, and to make it where, you know, us average small business owners can read it and understand it.
You're right. They've got to be more clear, and the Department of Labor has got to be given the chance to bring those rules up to the 21st century.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Tom to give us a little bit of a timetable for when he thinks this might all happen. And then we're going to move on and talk about something else that's pretty exciting, and that's something that's called the Entrepreneurship in the 21st Century. It's a one-day conference that Tom's organization is helping to put on, and we're going to talk about that. And that's coming up right after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Every night I had the strangest dream.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Thomas Sullivan. Tom Sullivan is the Chief Counsel for Advocacy over at the SBA, and his organization has been around for a while, folks. But your president gave his office some new teeth a couple of years ago, and Tom described it a little bit for you a minute ago about how his organization is a little bit different from the rest of government because your division, you're part of the SBA, but you report to the president, don't you?
Yes, I do, Jim.
And because, to me, I was very impressed with that, Tom. Obviously, I've always been impressed with you, but the fact that the president felt that strongly about making sure that small businesses were protected from onerous and unfair regulations to put the kind of teeth into an organization like yours. That was pretty impressive to me.
Well, it's an honor for me, and it's most impressive that the president wants unfiltered advice on how the government sometimes can hurt small business, mm-hmm. and it's my job to give him that type of unfiltered advice to tell him where government sometimes doesn't get it right, so that I'm in charge of turning that around so that the government doesn't crush small business under a mountain of unnecessary burdens or regulations or paperwork.
Well, you know, Tom, I work with other organizations who track these things. like the NFIB, like the Association for Competitive Technology, and the Small Business Survival Committee. I talk to these organizations who track this kind of conditions in the marketplace, and they're giving me reports that tell me that what you're doing is working.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely we're holding back the tide. I think that the person who deserves the most credit on this, in addition to the small business groups who represent the small businesses from all over the country, because they really are the most aggressive advocates, but a great deal of credit should be given to the President of the United States. He signed an executive order last year that gives my office more authority to hold government agencies accountable to how they treat small business. And nothing gets the attention more and when the President of the United States says it's his priority.
That's right. And thank you for the dedicated work that you do, Tom. You know, my audience, I mention you and what you do a lot of times when you're not here, because we stay in touch with what you guys are accomplishing. And it makes, I'll tell you what, folks, I mean this. I sleep better at night knowing that Tom Sullivan's on the job. And see, we don't let him sleep. We don't let him take vacations. He doesn't get to go home. He just has to be out there working. Because don't forget, he is Superman. Hey, Tom, let's talk about something pretty exciting that's coming up. Is it in March that this Entrepreneurship in the 21st Century Conference is going to be?
Yeah, thank you for mentioning it. Yes, it's March 26th. We're hosting a conference here in Washington, D.C., where it's one day where the nation's brightest minds on small business, entrepreneurship, and economic policy get together in one room and map out how small business is going to be affected by policy in the next 20 to 50 years.
Well, you know, as you know, Tom, and as my audience knows, I've been conducting quite a few interviews over the years with people who are teaching entrepreneurship in our colleges and universities. And I think it's important that we recognize, I mean, Tom, you've heard me say this before. I've said it 1,000 times on this show, and I've written it 1,000 times. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. And we need to realize that this is not just, it's not just a word. It's becoming a way of life. And we're not only that, it's becoming a discipline that's being taught. And I'm glad to see you guys are giving it this kind of attention.
Well, thank you, Jim. And we're actually very pleased that this conference is sponsored by the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation out in Missouri. They really are a nation's leader in bringing together the type of entrepreneurial minds and academics and economists who can really probe very deeply into the phenomenon that you just articulated, and that is that the 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur, and how do we adopt policies that allow for entrepreneurship to flourish?
Well, and one of the ways we do that is by raising the consciousness of this issue in the minds of more people, getting entrepreneurialism and getting small business, the contribution that small business owners make more on the radar screen of policymakers and big businesses as well.
Yeah, you're right, Jim, and you know, our job really is just to make sure that small business has a seat at the table where government decisions are made. So why not bring that same emphasis towards national policies that will shape the future of small business for years and years to come? And we've got notables like Zoltan Ox with the University of Baltimore. We've got Paul Reynolds, who is certainly one of the world's leaders on entrepreneurship, from Babson College, which is out of my hometown of Wellesley, Massachusetts, coming here. And I mean, the notables continue all the way up to President Bush's advisors on economic policy, like Stephen Friedman, the nation's leader in monetary and economic policy, Secretary of the Treasury John Snow. All of these people have already committed close to a year in advance. We've been working on this for a while,
right,
to participate in this conference on March 26th.
Tom, I've got to wrap it up. Before we go, give us your website, please, so people can check it out.
It is sba.gov/ADVO, and they have all the conference information right there on our website. I encourage your loyal listeners to log on and participate in this groundbreaking conference.
Thank you, Tom Sullivan. Good job today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Tom Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages with Peter Meyer.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.